Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, the 16th chapter. At a climactic point in Jesus' ministry, God reveals to Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds with the promise of a church that will overcome the very gates of Hades. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Did you feel fall in the air this morning? As he came in, it is starting to feel like it, and things have begun to shift around here at the church as well. Yesterday morning, we had a great gathering of the majority of our sixth graders who will be entering into confirmation this year. We had a little bit of a retreat with them and their parents, a time for us to talk together about our program and what we hope to accomplish in the next 3 years as they're together, and it was a ball. And then my inbox has started filling up, my email inbox, with faith statements from our ninth graders, the 15 of them or so who right now are writing their faith statements. Really, it's a two-page little explanation of who they believe Jesus is. I mean, that's really the question that they get to answer. But I'm a pastor. I was able to put the directions for that assignment into two full pages myself, single-spaced, right? And they get to do two pages double-spaced. But they're starting to come in. And they're starting to speak about who Jesus is in their lives. And then we will gather toward the end of October, and each of the students will read it in the midst of family and friends. And hopefully some of them will read it here at 10:30's worship on October 29th as we gather for the service of affirmation of baptism, or what we call confirmation. It's been a ball working with these different groups of kids. And I am looking forward to what is to come. I've been thinking a lot about that in relation to the text for this morning. Jesus gathering with his disciples and asking the question, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they come back. They come back with the answers. Well, some say that you might be Elijah. Some say you might be Jeremiah. Some say you might be one of the prophets. And then Jesus gets down to business. He looks at them and he says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" So thinking about those confirmation students and you and I, what if we took that question and each of us spent some time sitting down and writing our own faith statement to that question? Who do you say that Jesus is? An important question for us to think about and to wrestle with Because this stuff of faith that we gather and worship about is not something ethereal and out there. It is something right here that directs the whole of our lives. And as I've been thinking about it and doing some reading this week, there was an author that said that in the midst of worship, there are two points that we get to confess. So the first one, we've already entered into, the confession and absolution. Almost every time we gather here and worship, we begin the worship service, or very close to the beginning, with confession and absolution. The ability for each of us to quietly, in our minds, be in conversation, in prayer with God, being honest about those things that we carry, the burdens. The words we said that we wish that we could grab hold of again and stuff back in our mouths. The actions that happened that we wish hadn't happened. The things that we've done and left undone, one of our older confessions says. We enter into a time of this honesty before God. And then we hear a word of absolution. For Jesus' sake, you are forgiven. And it's really important to hear those words, for Jesus' sake, you are forgiven. Not forgiven because you remembered everything that you did wrong. Not forgiven because you are a grand person, although you are. Not forgiven for any other reason, but for Jesus' sake. Because this one died and rose again, that we might receive forgiveness of sin and be set free. How incredible is that? This freedom that is gifted to us through the cross and resurrection. Confession is that ability to be honest. And we can be honest because God has forgiven in the past, and God will forgive now, and God will forgive into the future. We're forgiven. And we are set free. Now, that doesn't become a license, though, for us to continue activity that doesn't bless others. Because our words and our actions do hurt other people. Our words and actions can physically push people away from the resurrected one. I think that confession helps lead us into a new place, and that's transformation. Paul talks about that today in the reading from Romans, that we are not people who are conformed to this world, but we are transformed into the image of Christ. And I really believe that it is in the midst of confession and absolution that the beginning of transformation begins. Transformed, changed, built more into God's image so that we might take God's grace, mercy, and love from this place out to others. Conformed to the world would mean that we would just continue fully living in sin. Always, and not worrying about it. Being transformed is a process of being shaped and hopefully throughout our entire lives becoming more of what God wants us to be. At the same time, understanding that perfection will never be ours. Not in this world. So confession leads to transformation that I think leads us to a space of being able to confess. So as I said, the author that I was reading earlier this week said there are two places we confess. There is the confession And as we gather together and speak the words from the Apostles' or Nicene Creed, the confession of the church that goes back to the early days of the church, what we believe of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is us standing together in a very confined way saying that this is what we believe of the faith. But I think that that example also pushes each of us as baptized, forgiven believers into figuring out our own confession, our own faith statement, that we might sit down and write. What is it that we believe about this one who died and rose again that we might have life and have it abundant? Confessing, both in word and deed. And when I think about confessing, I don't think about standing on a street corner because I don't know that that's overly helpful. Confessing, I think, happens much more in the midst of a relationship, somebody that you care about deeply, somebody that you know, where you're able to speak about where your hope comes from this day and every day. Where you're able to be honest about your questions and your wonderments, though, about who this God is, because my guess is none of us have this faith stuff all perfectly figured out. And if you do, good on you. And if you don't, that's all right. Let's continue wrestling together. In my own personal devotion time, I've been reading through the book of Revelation lately, partly for myself, but also prepping for our fall Bible gathering time that we'll do downstairs between worship services. So we'll start September 17th again. It's what we had called Bible Basics. We're going to dig in a little deeper into the book of Revelation. Don't shake your heads and walk away from that. The book of Revelation, I believe, is the testimony of John of Patmos. It is his confessing. And yes, there are all sorts of wild and crazy visions and everything else. But when you read John of Patmos' confession closely, what you see is one who is confessing that worthy is the Lamb, that in the end, God is going to win. John is writing in a time where the world is really tough on many Christians. Not all Christian communities, but some of them are under severe pressure. And in the midst of that, John confesses that he believes that in the end, God will win. And so the calling is that we remain faithful to God. I hope that you'll consider coming and sitting with us and asking lots of questions and often hearing me say, I don't know. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to confession, which transforms us, which leads us into being able to confess what we believe about this one who died and rose for us. May you cling close to faith in this one who is the author and giver of all life. Thanks be to God. Amen.